This morning I want to begin my sermon by asking you some questions. And the answer to each of these questions is the same. And what's more, the source of these questions and answers are found in the Bible. And so as I ask these questions, be thinking, well, what is the answer to that question? For some of the questions, there might be more than one answer, but there will be several questions, and I think that there is one good answer. I know that there's one good answer to these questions, and we find it in the Scriptures, and specifically in one portion of the Scriptures. And so let me read you some of these questions, ask you some of these questions. First of all, statements. In the Bible, we read that a man or a woman, but specifically in the Bible, we read about a man is happy or blessed if he finds something. So what is it that brings such happiness or blessedness? Okay, think of that. Another question. First of all, a statement. In the Bible, it said that the merchandise or the profit of something is better than silver or fine gold. So what has profit that is so valuable? In the Bible, we also read that there is nothing that we could ever desire that compares to this thing. So what is this thing that is so incomparable? Again, in the Bible, we read that length of days is in this one's right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness. All her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to all that lay hold upon her. So do you know what has a description such as that? Let me ask you the question. By what did the Lord found the earth? What gives life and favor and protection? What defeats fear? What provides the sweetest of sleep? What must be ardently sought after? What must be tenaciously guarded in one's life? Okay, a lot of questions there. They all come from one passage. If I gave you the passage, perhaps you might be able to tell me a little bit more easily what I'm talking about here. But can anybody tell me right off what it would be the answer to all those questions? Okay, so the word would be, in a general sense, the answer. But even more specifically, it comes from Proverbs chapter 3, the passage that I found the questions and the answers. So does that give you... So salvation, that's a good idea there. Wisdom is the word that I'm looking for. Wisdom. Proverbs chapter 3 has a lot to say about wisdom. Really, the entire book of Proverbs has a lot to say about wisdom. In chapter 4, we read these words. Let me read for you in verses 5 through 9. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Now, Proverbs has much to say about wisdom. Who can tell me who wrote the book of Proverbs? Solomon would be the one that wrote most, if not all, of Proverbs. It was in the city of Gibeon that the Lord God appeared to Solomon. He appeared to him in a dream. And in this dream, God said something very incredible to Solomon. God said to Solomon, "Ask what I shall give thee." And you know how Solomon responded? He first of all responded by admitting how inadequate he was. Here he is, king of Israel, and Israel, a vast nation. And Solomon says this, "I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for a multitude." And in response to God's offer to give him whatever he asked for, Solomon asks for something specific, and we read in 1 Kings 3, verse 9, Solomon says, "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad, for who is able to judge this thy so great people?" Now, for Solomon to ask for wisdom was a very pleasing thing in the Lord's sight. And God promised to give Solomon wisdom and an understanding heart. And God even promised that there would be none like him in the past, and neither would there be any like him in the future. Solomon was a wise man beyond any doubt. We read this in 1 Kings chapter 4, verses 29 and following. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country, and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezrahite, and Heman, and Calcol, and Darda, the sons of Mahol. And his fame was in all nations round about. And he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. And he spake of trees, from the cedar tree that is in Lebanon, even to the hyssop that springeth up out of the wall. He spake also of beasts, and of fowl, and of creeping things, and of fishes. And there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon, from all kings of the earth, which had heard of his wisdom. So think of that. In Solomon's day, Solomon was the wisest man alive. And his reputation spread far and wide, and there were kings from all over that came to Solomon's court to hear his great wisdom. There is no one compared to Solomon in his great understanding of so many things. Now, wouldn't it be incredible if you could have lived in Solomon's day, and you could go to his court and hear with your own ears the great wisdom of Solomon? That would have been an incredible experience. But of course, we can't go back in time and hear Solomon's wisdom. But thankfully, some of Solomon's wisdom has been preserved in the Word of God. I read part of Proverbs earlier. We could go to Ecclesiastes. We could read the Song of Solomon. We see words of wisdom. Now, Solomon was very wise. There's no doubt about that. But do you realize that there is someone who came after Solomon who is even greater than he? And who is that? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was even wiser. He is even wiser than Solomon. Jesus himself said this in Matthew 12, verse 42. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. So if people came from all over the world to hear Solomon's wisdom, if we today yearn to sit and hear Solomon, even though we can't, how much more should we be longing to hear the wisdom of Jesus Christ? To sit at his feet, to be taught by him, to be challenged by him, to be encouraged by him. Now, of course, none of us can go back in time to the time when Jesus was on this earth. We can't sit with Mary at Jesus' feet and hear his words of wisdom. But thankfully, just like Solomon's wisdom, some of it is recorded for us, preserved for us in the Bible. Much of Jesus' wisdom is also preserved for us in the Bible. We have four Gospels that are in the Bible for us. And we have accounts of Jesus' life, but not just Jesus' life, but Jesus' teaching, the words that he spoke. We can read of the wisdom of Jesus. So yes, in those Gospels, we read about the amazing miracles that Jesus performed. We're privileged to see how Jesus interacted with the people of his day. And yes, we can read the profound teaching and preaching of Jesus. Now, today we are gathered together as a group of believers. And the moment that we trusted in Jesus Christ, there was an incredible change that happened within our hearts. We became different people, didn't we? Whereas before we were children of darkness, now we are children of light. Whereas before we were ones who were children of wrath, now we are children of God's blessing, aren't we? Before we were in the devil's kingdom, but now we are part of God's great kingdom. So an amazing change happened in our lives whenever we trusted in Jesus. And we realized that Jesus is life. Indeed, he said, as we read in the book of John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the source of all life. He's the source of physical life, but more importantly, he's the source of spiritual life. And you realize the words that Jesus spoke, they were life. And how privileged we are to open up our Bibles and we can read words of life. Peter rightly acknowledged this. He said to Jesus, "You have the words of eternal life." We today confess the same. Jesus has the words of eternal life. Jesus is life. Jesus is genuine wisdom, isn't he? He is truth. It is only through Jesus that we are able to know God the Father. So today, if you have trusted in Jesus, you are privileged to know Jesus. You have a relationship with him. But yet, even though we know Jesus, we each day want to know him better, don't we? To deepen that relationship. So yes, in some ways we think like Jesus thinks, but we want to think all the more like Jesus thinks, right? We want to live even more closely to the way that Jesus lives. We want our character and our standards to be more closely aligned with Jesus. We want to love God even as Jesus loves God. We want to love others even as Jesus loves others. We want to be growing in our walk with Jesus. This morning we begin a new series of sermons. And the series of sermons is especially geared for us to know Jesus better. And of course, every sermon that I preach, the goal is for us to know Jesus better, to grow in our walk with him. But especially as I preach through the Gospel of Matthew, I want us to understand more about Jesus, but I want us to know Jesus. I want our relationship with him to deepen as we consider what Jesus taught when he was on this earth, as we consider the person of Jesus and the miracles that he performed, how he interacted with others. I want us to know Jesus all the more. I invite you this morning to turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. Generally, whenever I begin a series of sermons, if the book is short enough, I read through the entire book. Well, you realize Matthew is quite the long gospel, 28 chapters. I would love to read through the entire book with you this morning, except it wouldn't be just this morning, it would go into the afternoon. And I realize it's Father's Day, and some of you have special lunch plans, and even if you don't have special lunch plans, it may be a little bit difficult for you to stay with me for an hour, 2 hours to read through the Gospel of Matthew. But we'll at least read through some of the chapters of Matthew to begin with. A great introduction to the Gospel. And then next week, and Lord willing, the next week, and continuing on through the Gospel of Matthew, we will be encouraged by these words. We will be challenged by these words. We will be, think of this, we will be taught by Jesus himself as we read through his, as we think about like chapters 5 through 7, what we call the Sermon on the Mount. It'll be such an incredible experience for us to be challenged by Jesus' own words. Matthew chapter 1, follow along as I read. We read Matthew chapter 1 beginning with verse 1. "The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. And Judas begat Phares and Zarah of Tamar, and Phares begat Esrom, and Esrom begat Aram, and Aram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Naasson, and Naasson begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz of Rechab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Urias. And Solomon begat Rehoboam, and Rehoboam begat Abia, and Abia begat Asa. And Asa begat Josaphat, and Josaphat begat Joram, and Joram begat Ozias. And Ozias begat Joatham, and Joatham begat Achaz, and Achaz begat Ezekias, and Ezekias begat Manasseh, and Manasseh begat Ammon, and Ammon begat Josias, and Josias begat Jeconias and his brethren about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconias begat Salathiel, and Salathiel begat Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel begat Abiud, and Abiud begat Eliakim, and Eliakim begat Ezor, And Ezor begat Sadok, and Sadok begat Akim, and Akim begat Eliud, and Eliud begat Eleazar, and Eleazar begat Mathan, and Mathan begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Joseph the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth, and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, In Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation, and weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted, because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Herod, to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose, and took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, "He shall be called a Nazarene." In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.' And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair, and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem, and all Judea, and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, 'O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you, that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness, to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdom of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those that were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye, when men shall revile you, and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my name's sake. Rejoice, and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out, and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law, or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of the hellfire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence, till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. Ye have heard that it was said, By them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her, hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out, and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off, and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. It hath been said, Whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery. Again ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, Thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king, neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Ye have heard that it hath been said, An eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor, and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Take heed that you do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard by their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance. For they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head, and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto a stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, or let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which goeth thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, And the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. It's Matthew chapter 1 through 7. I would love to continue reading, but that gives us a taste of what we will be considering in the weeks to come. But how precious are these words? And even as we have just read chapter 5 through chapter 7, the words of Jesus Christ, the wisdom of Jesus Christ. What a privilege it will be to meditate upon these words and to be challenged and encouraged by them. But just a little bit more as we think about the Gospel of Matthew. As the Apostle Matthew penned the words of this book, it's quite evident, there's no doubt in my mind, that Matthew had a definite goal or purpose in mind. It seems rather clear to me that Jesus is king, as presented in this book. Now, there's no doubt Jesus is king, but I believe one of the goals of Matthew as he penned this book, as he was led along by the Holy Spirit of God, he wanted to make it very clear that Jesus is king. And as the king, he has a kingdom. Matthew also wanted to make it quite clear that Jesus, as the king, the Messiah, who was prophesied by he was foretold of by the prophets long ago. And throughout Matthew, you read about, and we've read it several times already, thus it was fulfilled, which is spoken of the Lord by the prophets. We look at chapter 1, verse 22, chapter 2, verse 15, verse 17, verse 23, chapter 4, verse 14, chapter 8, verse 17. Scripture is fulfilled, and that's made very evident here in the Gospel of Matthew. Yes, Matthew making it clear, Jesus is the king. Jesus has a kingdom. John the Baptist announced the coming of the king and the kingdom. Jesus announced the coming kingdom. Matthew also shows us how the Jews, by and large, the people of Israel, rejected the king and the kingdom. Now, as we consider the Gospel of Matthew, as we consider the New Testament, Matthew is the first book in that New Testament. And I believe that God directed in such a way that we have our Bibles ordered in the way that we do. But it makes good sense that we have the end of the Old Testament and we have the beginning of the New Testament with the Gospel of Matthew. Because in Matthew, we find many links between the Old Testament and the New Testament. One of them I've already mentioned, the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy made very clear in the Gospel of Matthew. Now, nowhere in the Gospel of Matthew do we find explicitly the date that the Gospel was written. Probably it was penned somewhere between AD 44 and AD 70, perhaps in the 60s. It seems that Matthew was written toward a lot of Jewish individuals, but there's no doubt that it is written to the church. And of course, the church is composed of both Jews and Gentiles. Now, many in the early church considered Matthew to be the most important gospel. Of course, there's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There's no doubt Matthew is a very important gospel. And so as we consider the words of Matthew, not only today, but in the weeks to come, may God use this gospel to impact us for good as we consider Jesus Christ, his wonderful person, his mighty works, his very wise words. So may the words and actions of Jesus challenge us and encourage us and teach us. And through this gospel, in the weeks to come, may we grow in our walk with our precious Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Gospel of Matthew. What a blessing it was to read together the first 7 chapters. Indeed, we could have kept reading even 21 more chapters. But what a privilege to read Jesus' teaching there on the Mount. Words of wisdom. We have so much to learn from Jesus. And thank you so much for preserving for us the Lord's words in this gospel, and just the other gospels as well. But we look forward to spending time and considering the person and the works and the words of Jesus Christ. May you use these words, even that we have read today, to form us more into the image of your Son, Jesus. The cry of our heart is, I want to be like Jesus. So help us to earnestly pray for ourselves, for one another, that we as believers in Christ would become more and more like Jesus. So help us to learn much from the words of Matthew, not only today, but in the weeks to come. We pray these things in Jesus' glorious name. Amen.